Okay, let's start off this morning. Would you please open your Bibles to the Gospel of Judas? Okay. Let's begin with a word of prayer and spend a few moments just adjusting ourselves, orienting ourselves as to why we're here. There will be a great deal of worship of God all over the world, and we know that very little of that will go to the heavens. You think of worship in the sense and praise, as Paul does in 2 Corinthians, as a sweet savor going up to him, to his nostrils. And unfortunately, most of the worship that will be done all over the world will not get any further than the building in which they are conducted. And the reason for that is because of the absence of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Some overemphasize to the sense of wrongly emphasizing and the charismatic thing. Others do it theologically. But when Christ left earth, he sent us his Spirit, and that's what we'll see in John chapter 14 and following. He sent us his Spirit, and we are to walk by faith in the Spirit, that he can give us power, he can give us love, he pours into us the worship of God. So let's spend a moment in prayer, preparing ourselves for a morning of worship. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you and acceptable to you in the glory of your Son, the power of your Spirit. It is a great privilege to take time, to use our time, to come and assemble with others who are like-minded for the purpose of worshiping you in spirit and in truth, to take time to orient ourselves to what our lives are about, what our marriages are about, the suffering, the difficulties, the joys, the happinesses, the things that happened each day in our life, to get oriented as to what they're about, to realize that others are going through the same battle, different stages of the journey, different places in the journey, different things going on in their life. Therefore, we do not judge one another. We understand that we're all in different stages, in different areas of this great journey and battle that we're in, where we war not against flesh and blood, but against the powers and principalities of the air. So, Father, we pray that this morning will be a morning of glory to you, edifying to us. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. We haven't been here. Let's see, this is our third Sunday. And the first Sunday, we had the stand up here and the chairs this way. Last Sunday, we did it this way. However, people didn't like it because we had three and three. And anyway, we were busting up pairs of families. So now we've got four and three. Now I'm getting complaints. We need four over here. So we're going to have to put another row of chairs over here. Boy, y'all just never happy, never satisfied. But okay, we'll get it right. Langston and I and those that work here, we'll get it right. Amen. That's what I am. Exactly. Okay, let's begin before we go any further and praise. And there's just so much going on in America and the world, in Europe, and of course in the Middle East. And so many attacks on the importance of Scripture, the significance of Scripture, the purity of Scripture. So let's start this morning with singing page 223, O God, our help in ages past. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Let's stand and sing all six verses. Thank you for your prayers in regard to Hot Springs. We had a wonderful time in the Word and picked up a few people. And so we had some new people the last time I was there, and they came back eagerly. And so be in prayer for that assembly, that group of believers there. Had a good talk this morning and last night, or this morning really, with Ian McGrath. And he's feeling much better. You recall he had to cut his trip a little short, came home Friday. And those of you who may be visiting, he is a missionary, one of the missionaries we sponsor, and he just got back from Guatemala. And he feels much better right now, but told me some great stories, and I want to get Ian down here so that you can hear them, because you're the one that supported him going. And by the way, if you weren't here, we took a special offering for the Guatemala mission trip. And it was a little over $2,200, and most appreciative of that. And just to give you a brief idea, he had, it's in the sense of the best way that he can tell, over 2,000 soldiers accepted Christ as Savior by faith only and faith alone. They were startled because a lot of them have a Roman Catholic background, but they were able to make clear, he was able to make clear what the gospel is, and just faith in Christ alone, and faith alone in Christ alone. And among those being a couple of colonels, and he told me about one, I knew about the one, but he told me about one this morning, full colonel. It's kind of funny, the full colonel, his wife is a Mormon, his children go to an evangelical church, and he's a Guatemalan, and he told him, I believe in God. I know there's a God, but it's just too confusing, and I don't get involved. I let my wife do what she wants, my children do what they want. So Ian looked him straight in the face, and this man's the full colonel in his country with all the privileges of that. And Ian just looked at him and says, you be my study this afternoon, and just be there, and you'll learn something. You'll hear something. Well, after the session, he believed in Christ as Savior, told Ian that he understood and what was going on. He was going to go home and tell his wife and children that he had believed in Christ as Savior and have some long talks with his wife. So we need to pray for that marriage. Let's see, 7 or 8 colonels believed in Christ. The thing that Ian's emphasizing here, these are the leaders that will let him come into their bases. That's the important thing there. If they're believers, next time he comes, they will greet him. And it's just, again, I know I say it probably every time we talk about one of his trips, I'm just still totally amazed that here's a missionary from Australia. He speaks Australian, he's from Arkansas, and here, and yet they'll let him places that they will not let the big evangelical or any big groups go into. They won't let him come to the military base. They're scared of all of the influence and all the stuff that goes with letting in the people that are charismatic, letting in the Catholics, letting in the evangelicals, and it always comes with a big name and everything. He just quietly comes in. There's no, it's never in a paper because he's not a big deal. And if Franklin Graham went down there, it'd be a big deal, and it would make the wire. But Ian McGrath's not going to make the wire. So they let him come into the bases, and they let him give his gospel, the gospel of Christ. And then they take him around. And so, actually, he was in El Salvador, and tomorrow, or this week, Carol will go to Guatemala and get things set up for him coming into Guatemala. So we'll be giving you some reports on Guatemala in that regard. Any prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes? All right. Well, then we'll be in prayer for the family. Absolutely. Any other prayer? Yes? Your grandfather. Ray? Okay. Okay. Do we know if he's a believer or not, Laura? Okay. All right. All right. Well, then we'll be in prayer. And as we get older, whatever's in your soul is going to be magnified. If a person sort of angry through their life and not pleased with their life and what it's done, their marriage, their accomplishments, or whatever they had in their mind, and they go into older age with that kind of thinking, it accentuates itself. Youth covers a lot. Youth covers a lot of attitude that's really inside of young people. Youth covers fear. Youth covers a lot of things. But when you shed the glamour of youth and you enter into old age, this is why it's so important that we walk in the Spirit. Enjoy every day of your life. And we'll be talking more about that in regard to our study. Well, everyone didn't raise your hand. And I know that just every one of you have prayer needs. And whatever reasons, we don't just lay them out there. And I do exhort you, encourage you to be in prayer for each other. There are marital problems in this room. There are health problems in this room. There are just all kinds of personal, financial, and we just need to be in prayer for each other in the battle that we are in. And certainly be in prayer for me in regard to my study, and I'll have something to say about that in a few moments. Well, I'll stay up now. I need your help. Let's talk with the family. We don't have the money, the staff, that it takes to get a publication, a good quality publication out. And this came up, this has come up several times and more times recently. So, what do you think about doing, let's do a series where we have one or two lessons on, say, salvation, one or two lessons on spirituality, one or two lessons on different subjects, so that if someone says, do you have anything on, without giving them 99 lessons, John Hens called and he said, I don't know if you've done anything on spiritual love or not, but he said, I have a friend who really needs, as a neighbor. In fact, we need to be in prayer for them. They're right down the street from John. Two new neighbors. They both work with the government in a police type of situation, an enforcement situation. And the stories are just horrifying what he tells John's going on. But he came and talked to John, so need to be in prayer for that couple. So we need to decide, is something like that something that even you could use if somebody asks, what do y'all believe about spirituality? Or what do you believe about the Bible? What do you believe about Christian life or different type of things? And we'll make a list and I'll let you help make it. The series will be no more than maybe 10 subjects. And even at that would be 40 lessons if it took 4 lessons for each one, but I'm going to try not to. John was thinking 4 lessons on spiritual love so that even he could have it to give out to his church. And this type of thing to just get a grip on these kinds of things. What do you think? I'll just go down the list. Like the yeah. I think the first lesson, because Jim and I have talked, Jim Langston, and we don't have anywhere where we did why everybody sees the Bible so differently, the Isaiah 28 study. We've got a little bit of it here. We've got a little bit of it here. Just one or two lessons on Isaiah 28. Really, one lesson is when I'd like to do it, that study. Why are there so many denominations? Why are there so many interpretations? And how the Bible is written that way on purpose? So that we could just have one lesson. There it is. Why there are so many different views on the Bible? Why so many different... Why the Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, Episcopalians, Roman Catholics, da-da-da-da. And how the Bible is written on purpose. So that if you do not want to see the truth, you will not see it. If you want to see the truth, you'll see it. That would probably be the first one. And just laying the groundwork of this book. And then go to that, to salvation. eternal life, salvation, and then spirituality, how they're alike. Go back and forth with that. And then maybe spiritual love, and just we'll make a list of different things that we want to cover in it. Well, I think I'll see about doing that.
Are you really
going to
be able to keep it to four?
I've got to. Well, John yesterday said four on spiritual love. So, if I can get this right, we'll do Isaiah 28 in one lesson. Just kind of go through it quickly, because that would be sort of the kick in. And then salvation. Y'all cut that out! Lord, forgive them, for they know me too well. See, this is wiretapping. That's what that is right there. He was listening in.
The idea is that no one person would ask for all of them necessarily.
No. That's it. Somebody, tell me, explain to me your spirituality. What makes your spirituality different than da-da-da-da? On how to be filled with the Spirit. And just do it in one or two lessons. Very simple. Not cover everything. Just basic introduction, foundation. Okay. So what we'll do, if you get some ideas, you don't, like we'll be doing Isaiah 28, salvation 1, salvation 2, or spirituality, spiritual love, and then you come up with other things that you know people would want to know, that you've had questions about, and we'll add them in. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And there was a question in there that really hit home to me, I thought about several times, and that is, why do we constantly yearn? You know, why do we have alcoholics? Why do we have issues with food? We just can't get enough. And what the book said was that we're not home. And until we go home to heaven, we're always going to yearn. We're always going to look for something to fill that hole. And maybe something around there.
Okay. That would be... There's a better word than yearn, but that'll be, we'll slip in something from a stress, anxiety, depression study. Slip in some studies from that. The need and the spiritual problem in that area. And then we need, I guess, one or two on some marriage things. So one or two for children, one or two for teenagers. And, They're not nice, Pam. They're not nice. So, okay. All right, here is for you then. In all humor, be in prayer of the Spirit will lead in this. If this is something the Spirit wants us to have in our tapes or discs, I don't know what to call them anymore, but in our disc distribution, then just pray he'll lead. In limiting and how what to put in and what not to put in.
Well, and even, you know, you asked if we would be, you don't want us to not be here, you don't want us to blow this off either, but I'm thinking for myself personally, I would love to have some concise notes on all of these subjects.
Yeah.
For myself.
Yeah, and that's what we'll do. Okay, then I'll start working on that, and it won't help John right now. I don't know what we're going to do. I told him I had probably 300 lessons on spiritual love. Which one would he like? He said, oh yeah, I'm going to go over and tell the guy, here I have 300 hours to help your problem. The guy said, the bottle will do it better. Faster anyway, not better, but faster. So, be in prayer. Guiding and not only in picking the subjects, but in limiting them to get what he wants to be said in that short of time for those who want to hear. I've learned in my lifetime now that I'm a minister only to a certain few who want to see the way God shows and reveals it to me. This isn't for everybody. This is for those that will come in contact with you that are ready to hear it in the manner in which we want to hear it. But I firmly believe most important teaching, doctrine in this book for the believer is how to be filled with the Spirit. I guess most evangelical preachers, if not even beyond that point, will get up and tell you, do this, do that, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. Don't tell you how to do it. Just tell you this is what you're supposed to do or not do in a lot of cases, but don't give you the power. And it's of no glory to God if you do it in the flesh. So we need to get that down correctly. So we'll do that. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity. For God loveth a gracious giver. The gracious giver is first of all one who has personally accepted Christ as Savior. Then, not only that though, giving is really an issue between you and walking in the Spirit. Paul says, if I give everything that I own, so that I myself become poor, but do not have love, it profiteth nothing. And how do we get that love? In the power of the Spirit. So therefore it is under the leading of the Spirit how much we give and when we give and all these kinds of things in our spiritual life. So let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, as we enter into this facet of worship, an essential facet of worship, not because of the money, but because of the heart of this worship, giving, the cornerstone of Christianity. For God so loved the world, He gave. Jesus Christ loved, He came and became man and died in our place. Giving. It's one of the manifestations of our faith. Taking that which is related to the material world and saying, no, I'll invest this in the spiritual. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for the freedom we enjoy in America, the political, economic freedom we enjoy in America to do with our lives and our resources as we see fit. To go to the church of our choice. And why? To marry. To spend our time this way, our money that way. Oh, how we value the freedoms in America that we enjoy. And we're so appreciative and thankful for the men and women who serve this country from its foundation, from our forefathers to this very hour, to secure this political economic freedom on earth. But Heavenly Father, we cross this with the great freedom wherewith we have been set free in Jesus Christ. It is in this realm of freedom that we have eyes to see how to use our political economic freedom. What to do with our money, what to do with our time, who to marry and why, and how to live in that marriage and why, where to worship and why, friends, time, interest, so many things. It's a spiritual freedom that we have eyes to see. And Father, we praise You and thank You for the Your Son who provided this freedom in His death and subsequent resurrection. Father, we pray now that You receive the offerings that we're about to give and that You will continue to use this assembly. Open our eyes to avenues that You open up to us. We think in the turn, the way of books and things, but we have the internet. We can send out, as it were, a series of fundamental truths of the Bible via the internet and reach more people than we would ever reach with a paperback book. There's so many different things and opportunities that are right there at our fingertip. Guide us. We pray that You'll continue to use this humble assembly throughout the rest of this year, Father. So we pray that You'll receive the offerings now and that You will continue to use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In His precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Wes. Let's sing one more hymn. Turn to hymn number 37. Hymn number 37. It's a powerful hymn. The first one we sang was written by Isaac Watts. Now let's sing this one by Martin Luther. We'll sing all four verses. Thank you, Wes. Thank you, Brian. Let's open the scriptures, if you will, to the Gospel of John, chapter 13. There is so much involved in the time in which we live with things like the Gospel of Judas. There is an understanding of divine inspiration that we must have to rightly divide the Scriptures and to make decisions in life. National Geographic magazine has always supported the evolutionary view. They have, throughout various articles, magazines, throughout years and years, for decades, have tried to minimize, if not challenge, the authenticity of Scripture. And it is no surprise that as we enter into the season of Easter, which is so important to so many people, to come across with something like this, doesn't surprise me the timing. It doesn't surprise me who's doing it. And these types of things that are going on. A lot of things you want to bear in mind if these, when these kinds of things happen. I want to talk about this because it's big news. And then if you want to give your input, I'm open to it. We're not into the study at all yet. It's very interesting that when Christians found the Dead Sea Scrolls. Now, the Dead Sea Scrolls, we studied them when I was in seminary. I had to read some of them. By and large, pretty good. But no one made an attempt to call them Gospels. They knew better. But the secular world, not the Christian world, the secular world gets something like this, and oh wow, we can slam dunk the Bible. We can challenge a lot of things now. We can make this a TV special. We can get National Geographic worldwide news now. And that's what's happening. They've taken something and they're going to go with it in this manner. But it's very important that you realize there are other great manuscripts that we have found. No one's claimed them to be gospel. But this one is claimed by the National Geographic to be so. Understanding Scripture is understanding divine inspiration. There are several parts of divine inspiration, people. Several parts that challenge your faith. One of those is God inspiring man, human beings with sin natures, to write the Scriptures as he wants them written. That has been done all the way through. So many different prophets and different people, kings. We have from Job. Then we have Moses' writings and David's writings. And then we go through Amos, Zephaniah, whom we're studying on Tuesday night, and on and on and on. So divine inspiration, point one, is all that's involved with God inspiring a human being. And see, a lot of people challenge the authenticity that this is, and I'm going to use this word in quotes, the Word of God, source from God, what it's written by men. So point one of divine inspiration is God inspiring men through the power of His Spirit to write the message that He wants written without infringing on their personality, their vocabulary. These kinds of things, and this is important. This isn't just poetic stuff. We can do a lot of work. When was Job written? Well, we know by the vocabulary. We can get pretty close. What words, what wording, what word the writer uses, what words are not used, and on and on and on. And the same thing with, say, the Pauline epistles. All of these kinds of things become valid when you look into what's going on. But that's just the first step. The second step of divine inspiration is divine preservation. Preserving His Word. Preserving, because we've got to believe that David said a lot more than what's recorded. That Amos said a lot more. Zephaniah, all of this. But these are the writings that God has preserved for us. In fact, we know Paul wrote other things. So part of divine inspiration, the second part of divine inspiration, is divine preservation throughout history. Not just 2,000 years of church history, but we've got all the maybe 1,500 years, close to 2,000 years, we include Job, of it for 4,000 years, just preserving this text. From all kinds of things. Satan's trying to attack it. Satan's trying to dilute it, distort it, change it, on and on and on. So, you've got that part. There's a third part of divine inspiration that's very important, people. Very important. And that's divine accumulation. The accumulation of the manuscripts books, we call them, that he wants in his word. Other spirit-filled men did write, and women probably did write, things throughout history. So he had to not only inspire them, not only preserve them, but the choosing of the books that would be part of this, the accumulation of the 66 books that we have, 66 manuscripts that we have. So that's the third and very important part of divine inspiration. We've got to realize these things. And it's very interesting that we do a lot of work, we being man, we do a lot of work with manuscripts, and I'm just going to pick one that I'm familiar with, the manuscripts of Shakespeare. They are studied. Well, did Shakespeare really write this and this? And they look for things and all this, and they authenticate. So those are things you do. And pretty much Shakespeare has been preserved, the writings and things that Shakespeare did. But we're talking here about the Word of God. So the accumulation of the books that he wants are essential. No more, no less. Have all kinds of problems. There are things that people want to make Bible, make part of Scripture. The Roman Catholics have, I think it's 9, anybody remember for sure? But anyway, between the Apocrypha, and so they read through those. They put it in there. I'm not sure of their view on the divine authority of it.